When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than three decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A group of GOP senators is urging Trump administration officials to remain at their jobs until the new administration is sworn in later this month. Bob Agnew reports from Capitol Hill.
Republican Mike Lee of Utah is among the senators advising Trump cabinet members to remain in place despite some wishing to defect in protest of the president's response to the U.S. Capitol riot by Trump supporters on Wednesday. Senator Lindsey Graham also urging caution, telling reporters, quote, "To those who believe you should leave your post now to make a statement, I would urge you not to." The senators are responding after the Washington Post first reported top administration officials may wish to abandon ship to make a statement. Bob Agnew reporting.
Meanwhile, President Trump is acknowledging his election defeat and says there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
9 weeks after Election Day and one day after his supporters rampaged the U.S. Capitol building, the president acknowledged that Joe Biden will succeed him. In a written statement that was released after Congress certified Biden's victory, he said there will be an orderly transition later this month, even though he totally disagrees with the outcome of the election. Mr. Trump said, "While this represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again." Greg Clugston, Washington.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says the Trump administration condemns yesterday's violence on Capitol Hill.
"The violence we saw yesterday at our nation's capital was appalling, reprehensible, and antithetical to the American way. We condemn it, the president and this administration, in the strongest possible terms. It is unacceptable, and those that broke the law should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law."
McEnany then left the podium without taking any questions. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 211 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
A special message to all my friends who own and operate small businesses. Hey, Kevin Wall here. When was the last time you evaluated your insurance policy? Hey, the world has changed in the last year, but has your commercial insurance kept up? That's where my friends Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance are ready to help you and your small business. Blue Sky Insurance offers fresh solutions for general liability, workers' compensation, and something new, cyber insurance. Make a New Year's resolution to review the plan that will protect your business and your income in the year 2021 and beyond. This small business insurance review from Blue Sky Insurance could actually save you money. And the consultation is absolutely free. It won't cost you a dime. I've been a client of Blue Sky Insurance for 3+ years. Their customer service is incredible. Just call or text Blue Sky Insurance at 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. Or check it out online at blueskylv.com.
It's 4:04. This KMCQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada's congressional leaders condemned the storming of the U.S. Capitol building while the House and Senate were officially tallying the Electoral College's votes for president. Congressman Mark Amadite, the lone GOP member of the Nevada delegation, tweeted yesterday that history was made today for all the wrong reasons. Shameful. Representative Steve Horsford called for President Trump's impeachment, laying the blame for the rioting at the president's feet. Horsford and his staff were evacuated and sheltered in place. And Congresswoman Deanna Titus, she tweeted, "As I shelter in place, lawless domestic terrorists encouraged by the president are attempting to destroy our democracy." Well, here in Las Vegas, several hundred Trump supporters protested peacefully in front of the Lloyd George U.S. Courthouse in downtown. U.S. Marshal officials say about 250 people gathered in front of the courthouse in that peaceful protest. And in fact, it didn't last very long. There were no reports of any violence. Well, a little bit of time can mean a lot of money. Just ask William Gracie. The Florida visitor to Las Vegas won more than $250,000 Tuesday night after hitting a progressive jackpot on the Let It Ride. That was at the Flamingo, so congratulations.
KMCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
In a crash on U.S. 95 southbound, that's in Washington. The left lane is blocked in that incident. Also, another crash, 515 north at Russell. You are bumper to bumper as you try to work your way through that area. You're backed up all the way past Galleria there on the 515 northbound. Live and Local is next.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three. Time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Couple of pieces of news. A U.S. Capitol police officer has died following the pro-Trump riot. Also, Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund is going to resign after security breakdowns during the pro-Trump riot. So the news keeps coming out of D.C., and it's not all that positive. Joining us, I always look forward to having him on the show because he is one of the brightest minds politically in the state of Nevada. He is Andy Matthews, the new assemblyman from District 37. We had a chance to visit with Robin Titus, the leader of the Republican Caucus in the Assembly, and I know she's very excited to have you on board. First of all, how were your holidays, and did you get a chance to just kind of kick back a little bit?
I did, Kevin, and by the way, Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. I had a brief opportunity to relax a little bit, but it went quickly, and already back to work. A lot to do before the start of the legislative session.
What is there ahead? I know we've got on the 19th, we've got the governor's state of the state, and you've followed a bunch of these over the years. What's the state of the state, and what's it supposed to do? Is it a roadmap?
It's the opportunity for the governor to kind of lay out to not just other elected officials, but really to all of the state, you know, where we are as Nevada, where we're going, what his vision is, and he'll talk about his plan for the road ahead. And I think the governor's going to talk about his priorities and how to deal with some of the challenges that, of course, we're facing as a state. And it's an opportunity for Nevadans to kind of know where he's going. But then there's also an opportunity for the rest of us to offer our remarks, not formally in that same form or that same setting. But it's going to be important for those of us who are in the legislative branch to talk about our priorities and our vision and how, we're going to improve our economy, get us back on our stay here. So it's always something that's really important. It's a good opportunity for Nevadans to hear from their governor. But it's also, going to be something that is the start of a conversation about, where we're going to go and what we're going to do as a state, rather than, the conclusion to it. So I look forward to it. I'm sure there will be some things that the governor says that I may disagree with, but I do look forward to being a part of this opportunity.
Another NPRI alum, Victor Jakes, wrote in the RJ just a week ago that what the governor seems to be doing is trying to make a case for tax increases, claiming there is a fiscal crisis in the state of Nevada. You've gotten a chance to look at what the Economic Forum put together. I'm curious, is there an economic crisis facing the state of Nevada?
I'm so glad you mentioned that column, because I read it this week myself, and in our media here in Nevada nowadays, there's just nobody better than Victor. And I had the honor of working with him when we were both at NPRI. And there's a crisis from the perspective of, if you're somebody who is desperate to grow government and expand the budget and spend more taxpayer money in a way that further erodes our liberties and gets government more involved in our lives. And there's always a crisis. There's always a crisis of not having enough revenue to do that. But I think Victor actually, in his column, and I would recommend all of your listeners to take a chance to read it. He really spells things out quite well and quite clearly that there really is no budget crisis. In fact, the latest projection from the Economic Forum, suggests that we're actually going to have, more revenue coming in than, where current expenditures are for this current fiscal year. And so not only is there no crisis, but we're actually going to see an increase in revenue. And this all matters, Kevin, because, the coming debate that I think is going to dominate the upcoming legislative session is going to be the course we're going to take when it comes to fiscal and budgetary policy here in the state. And I think, Democrats are going to make the argument, and I think the governor is probably going to make the argument as well, that we need to raise taxes on the private sector, on hardworking Nevadans, in order to carry out the essential responsibilities of government. And I think when you actually look at the numbers, the reality shows something different. And furthermore, and this was a point that Victor really drove home in his column, everyday Nevadans and our business owners and our employees have suffered so much as a result of, the coronavirus outbreak, the restrictions on business and economic activity that the governor has forced on our state and continues to force on our state. The pain that has been felt by private citizens, everyday Nevadans, has been so severe. And to make the argument now that the way to address the challenges, and they are real challenges, let's not sugarcoat it, but that the way to address those challenges is to ask Nevadans to give up more, even more of their hard-earned money when they've suffered so much and continue to suffer, rather than simply make government do more with less, become more efficient and more effective, I think is the absolute wrong approach, the wrong vision for our state. And I'm going to be someone who in Carson City is going to be, vocally making the case that this is not the time to raise taxes. Government simply needs to become more efficient and more effective with the money it already has. We cannot try to fund government on the backs of our citizens who have already hurt so much through this.
Now, we've heard about the governor asking for 12% decreases in budgetary for, and that's across the board. So that means education would be cut, 12% health and human services, 12%. Is that the way to go?
Well, I certainly think that asking government, executive branch, and other agencies to prepare for smaller budgets is absolutely appropriate. And we can actually look at the numbers, and maybe the number needs to be modified from 12%. You know, what I found really interesting, and again, was something that Victor pointed out in his column, is he said that these impacts to these agencies would be devastating. These would be devastating impacts if it's 12% cut. And again, I don't think when you put this in context, I mean, devastating is a pretty strong word. And you want to look at devastation, you look at, you know, those who have lost their jobs as a result of this, you know, those who are struggling to feed their family, businesses who now have to try to figure out a way to operate when they can only be allowed 25% capacity. You know, that's the economic devastation, you know, that our state is suffering. And so, yes, it is certainly appropriate to, ask agencies to prepare for cuts to these budgets. But I do think that rhetorically we need to have some context on this and not act like this is something that's draconian, not act as though this is a situation where the sky is falling. We absolutely should be able to expect government to roll up its sleeves and you know, make those sacrifices and do more with less the way the rest of us are having to find a way to do right now. And so we'll see how this all plays out. I think there are certainly going to be those who will advocate for, you know, no cuts to any of these government budgets. And, of course, I'll be a forceful opponent of that mentality, but we'll see. But it all comes back to what I said a moment ago. You know, we need to be fiscally responsible here. You know, we need to have the right perspective. We need to make sure that, you know, we're not asking more of our citizens who are already suffering.
Again, Andy Matthews joining us. He is the new assemblyman from District 37, former president of NPRI. I want to ask you because, the teachers union, they've got a tax increase proposal. There are a couple of others that are waiting in line to be heard. And I'm just curious, have you talked with members of your caucus? And will Republicans stand together against tax increases?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and of course, I certainly talk with a number of my colleagues, every elected member of the assembly, Republican or Democrat, is going to have to make his or her own decision. You know, I know there are a number of us who have signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge. I'm one of those signers, and I'm on the record as saying that I'm going to oppose any effort to raise taxes in this session. And I would imagine that my colleagues who have done the same and also signed that pledge will remain true to that. Others, I don't know. I can't speak for them. I hope to persuade them. You know, I hope to be able to make that case for why this is not the time to raise taxes and there are better solutions to deal with our challenges. And hopefully, I'll have some success in convincing them. What I think is really important to note, and I know we've talked about this even going back to the campaign season, is that, you know, because we won a number of seats here in the assembly, we were able to break that Democrat supermajority, you know, that they had, and that's the only reason we even allowed to have this discussion, right? Had Democrats held on to their supermajority, they'd be able to raise taxes in the assembly at least without getting any kind of Republican support. So it's very fortunate that we were able to win some seats. It's just a reminder that elections do, in fact, have consequences. And so now, you know, we have an opportunity as Republicans to shape the debate. I can tell you how I'm going to vote, and I know I'm going to be an opponent of tax increases. And we'll see how the others decide. My hope is that they'll make the same decision. That'll be up to them.
More coming up with Andy Matthews, Assemblyman District 37, as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. It's Thursday on AM 670 KMZQ.
Same great shows, new times. Wake up with Mike Gallagher weekday mornings from 6 to 9. Heidi Harris from 9 to noon. And Charlie Kirk from noon to 3. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
You can always depend on your locally owned and operated Meineke for the essential service your car needs. From engine repair to oil changes, we are here to help you get back on the road. At Meineke, our expert technicians are here to help you understand the problem and the fix. Save time and schedule your next appointment online at Meineke.com. Right now, a basic oil change is just $17.95. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
In 2020, Nevadans faced unprecedented government overreach and has had a devastating effect on our economy, on the livelihoods of countless Nevadans, and on our basic foundational freedoms. And now, of course, as lawmakers deal with the fiscal realities of shutting down an entire economy, they're getting ready to ask you, the very Nevadans who are suffering the most right now, to cough up even more of your hard-earned dollars to fix their mistakes. The Clark County Education Association wants to make Nevada's average sales tax the highest in the nation, and that's just the beginning. You can be sure government agencies, lobbyists, and unions will be out in force to make sure that their priorities are put ahead of yours. That's why Nevada Policy will be on the ground in Carson City this legislative session, making sure struggling Nevadans, not government insiders, are put first in the 2021 session. Partner with us today, and let's rebuild this great state. Visit NevadaPolicy.org today and join our effort. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
Sue and her wife Helen meet their son every Saturday for lunch. One week, they were late because Helen didn't realize it was Saturday. At the restaurant, they enjoyed their usual favorites and caught up. But after the meal, Helen got upset because she needed help calculating the tip. Sue missed 3 of the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's. Did you? Be aware of confusion with time or place, challenges with problem solving, and changes in mood or behavior. Know where Alzheimer's and dementia hide. For more information, visit alz.org/Nevada and click on Know the Signs. Are you or someone you love showing some of these signs? Help and information is available. Visit alz.org/NEVADA. This message, sponsored by a grant through the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by the MultiCare Group. Let Pat Casale, his friendly and knowledgeable staff, tailor a health care plan to fit your family's budget. And the MultiCare Group can provide you with plans that include free annual exams, telemedical appointments, and the best networks in the valley. Call 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. Call the MultiCare Group and do it right now. Great to have Andy Matthews on. Andy, you saw what happened yesterday in our nation's capital. Let me get your reaction to what you saw. At least my viewing of it, it did not look like MAGA people going through broken glass, windows, and things like that. It looked more like Antifa than it did MAGA. What about you?
Well, I haven't had the chance to review. I know that there's video out there, and I haven't had a chance to review all of that at this point. And so my reaction to all of it is just very, very simple, is that, you know, violence needs to be condemned. You know, that rioting, wherever it comes from, is not acceptable, has no place in our society. And this is not something that ought to be a political issue at all. You know, whether it's coming from the right, whether it's coming from the left, whether it's coming from you know, those who are not political, you know, this kind of behavior just has no place in our society, and it's dangerous, it's wrong, and I think, you know, regardless of one's party or political affiliation, we all need to be on the same page and crystal clear about that, and full stop, you know, and there's really not a whole lot for me to add to that at this point, other than, you know, I think that anyone who would try to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but anyone who would ever try to justify violence, I think it's something that's extremely dangerous, and I think it's something that we all, as Americans, need to be willing to full-throatedly condemn.
I want to ask you about the integrity of the vote. The president is still saying that this was a stolen election. We notice that it, you know, we are incredibly divided as a nation. The election in Georgia was incredibly divided. The presidential election was razor-thin margins. I'm just curious, do you believe in the electoral system? Do you believe that we can have free and fair elections?
Well, I believe we absolutely deserve, and, you know, to have free and fair elections, and I believe we absolutely, you know, can have free and fair elections in this country. I think, again, this is something else that should not be partisan. It's not something that should become a partisan issue. I think it's something that has become one. You know, when the Democrats here in Nevada this past summer passed, you know, a number of reforms in sort of a, you know, midnight, you know, special session with very little time for consideration, without even consulting with our Secretary of State, a number of reforms that implemented things like universal mail-in balloting and ballot harvesting, you know, these are measures that, you know, without question, undermine the security of our election system. And that's not a partisan argument. You know, I've been around long enough to remember a time when, you know, Republicans and Democrats recognized that mail-in balloting is more susceptible to fraud than any other time or any other kind of voting. You know, the commission chaired by James Baker, a Republican, and Jimmy Carter, the former president, a Democrat, drew exactly, you know, that conclusion a number of years ago. And so I was outspoken, you know, in the aftermath and even during the very brief debate over those measures, that this was something that was going to erode election integrity, was going to erode security. And I think it's something that needs to be addressed, absolutely needs to be addressed. And whatever one thinks about, you know, the election of 2020, you know, when it is all said and done, the bottom line is that here in Nevada, you know, we did implement a system that was especially prone to fraud and error and abuse. And that's not something that we can simply take lightly. You know, we know there was a county commission race, you know, right here in Clark County between Ross Miller and Stavros Anthony. That was razor thin. And, you know, we know that the registrar came out and identified a number of discrepancies in that race, you know, more discrepancies than was the margin of the, you know, the difference between the two candidates in that election. And this is not something that should be acceptable to any of us. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, or, you know, none of the above. You know, we deserve to have honest and fair elections. The system that is in place, you know, is especially prone to fraud, abuse. There's a long history of both sides of the aisle recognizing that. I'm going to be introducing a bill in this session that's actually going to be designed to restore election integrity here in our state. It's going to, it would, you know, if it's passed, it'll get rid of this universal mail-in balloting, which I think was a serious problem. It'll get rid of ballot harvesting. I can't tell you how many people